Welcome to the Letters to Women podcast, where we explore and embrace the feminine genius, this unique way of being and acting and loving as women, and what that looks like practically in our own ordinary daily lives. Here you'll find conversations with other women in a variety of seasons of life and hear about how they are living out their own unique feminine genius. And these aren't conversations that lay out the quote-unquote one perfect way to be a woman, leaving you feeling out of place. Instead, these are conversations that are meant to encourage you to discover more about who the Lord has created you to be and how you're called to live out that feminine genius too. My name's Chloe Langer, and this is our second episode in the Letters to Mothers series. This season, we're exploring what it means to be a mother on a physical, spiritual, and emotional level. If you are listening in and you're not a physical mother, you might think these episodes are not for you, but I want to invite you to continue listening to this season because all women are mothers. Each one of us has a gift of spiritual maternity. For some of us, that interior reality is reflected in our motherhood. But regardless of whether you don't have children, you long for children, you've lost children, you have children, or how those children came into your family, you have a place in these conversations. In this second episode, we're talking about fertility awareness and motherhood. This is a conversation about authentic women's healthcare, how to grow in an appreciation of your fertility as a gift, and discerning the size of family that the Lord wants to build with and for you, and what to do if you're not on the same page as your spouse in that discernment. But we're also talking about what it means to be mothers to daughters and how the conversations that we're having from a very young age shape the way that our daughters see their bodies. So if you're ready to get to know and appreciate your cycle and your fertility, this letter is for you. Today's episode of the Letters to Women podcast is sponsored by Interior Kingdom. Are you looking for a way to calm the emotional chaos in your home? Do you feel guilty for losing it with your kids more often than you'd like to admit? Are you absolutely burnt out from trying to manage the emotions of multiple children at once? And are you tired of praying for patience and asking God to help you manage meltdowns only to get more opportunities for patience, like when your kids fight about which color of cup they get at breakfast? If you answered yes to any of these questions, I want to share a few things with you. First, you are not alone and you're not a bad parent. I answered yes to all of those questions. Teaching kids how to be virtuous humans is incredibly hard work, but also it doesn't have to be this hard. You can help your whole family achieve emotional regulation together with Interior Kingdom, a faith-based regulation program for families. Interior Kingdom is the only Catholic regulation program out there. It is a fantastic alternative to the secular calm corners that you see all over Instagram without any of the New Age stuff. In fact, it's created by a Catholic mom and licensed professional counselor, Joanna Segrin. This program is not just for your kids, though. It's designed to help you, as a parent, regulate too. The course teaches you exactly what you were not taught about emotions and provides family lessons with engaging activities to teach your kids about their own God-given emotions with the help of scripture and the saints. I am so excited to work through this program and implement the ideas in our home, which has gotten overrun recently by meltdowns and big fits over little things. You can use the code LTW15 for 15% off the full Interior Kingdom program. Find out more at interiorkingdom.com. Today, I'm welcoming Grace Stark to the show. Grace is a writer, editor, and speaker whose interests and expertise include fertility awareness, women's health, bioethics, health policy, and Catholic culture and theology. Grace holds an MA in bioethics and health policy from Loyola University Chicago and a BS in healthcare management and policy from Georgetown University. Grace is a proud Texan and former military spouse and lives in the Austin area with her husband and four children. Grace, welcome to Letters to Women. It's such a joy to sit down with you this afternoon.
I'm really excited to be here, Chloe. Thanks for having me.
So today we're going to be diving into a conversation about fertility awareness, discerning family size, and teaching our daughters about the goodness of their bodies. But before we start, and especially for listeners who are meeting you for the first time, Grace, can you tell me a little bit about your story as a Catholic woman?
Sure. Well, my name is Grace Emily Stark, as you introduced me so thoroughly. Thank you very much for that. I am a Catholic woman, a Catholic wife, Catholic mother. I met my husband about, we're coming up on our 10-year anniversary this year, actually. So met him about 11 years ago and got married very young, straight out of college, actually a week after graduating for me from undergrad and a week for him from graduating out of medical school. And he was in the military at the time. He went to the military's medical school. He was in the Navy. So From there, we were shipped all around the world, first to Guam for a few years, and we had our first child out there, sent to California after that. And somewhere in that time, I started writing for Natural Womanhood. We had struggled with infertility initially, and it really got me passionate and thinking about the gift that the church gives us in its approach to infertility, with fertility awareness methods, natural family planning, and NAPRO technology, which I like to say is one of the best kept secrets of the Catholic Church that we never wanted to keep secret. We want everybody to know about it. And so that has really just, as a Catholic woman, has become part of my vocation. My little V vocation is to spread the good news about fertility awareness, natural family planning, NAPRO technology, and other flavors of restorative reproductive medicine to more women who don't know about it, because it is such a gift, and it isn't just for Catholic women and couples. It's for all of us. And there's just so much beauty in the church's teaching that is also just so true about the dignity of not only female bodies, but it just speaks very, very beautifully about the dignity of the human person, the female body in particular, and its teachings on contraception and fertility. And so, yeah, it's become just this really big part of my life that I never could have guessed when I graduated college 10 years ago now, that this is what I'd be doing. This would be a path of evangelization for me.
It's incredible. In the past few years, I have noticed, and this has probably been in the works for much longer than I have been noticing, but to see the conversation around fertility and awareness shift from something that Catholics talked about to something that we're talking about with people who are not Catholic, people who are not religious at all, who are growing an awareness of the goodness of their bodies, and coming to fertility awareness from totally different avenues and landing in the same space, and the fact that the body is good and that what we've been told in terms of contraception is not true.
Right. Yeah. I mean, Elon Musk is even talking about birth control and how bad it is on Twitter right now. He's been blowing up Twitter with that. So, we have really, really come a long way from the 1960s and the inception of the pill and, you know, rah-rah liberation, which actually, you know, has not turned out to be that at all, to now actually being able to say that out loud and beat that drum and give people the alternative of, well, no, you don't actually have to suppress the very thing that makes you a woman, you know, one of the very things that makes you a woman. You can celebrate it. You can work with it. You can use it as the fifth vital sign that it is, and feel good about that. Feel good in your body.
Grace, you're the editor-in-chief of Natural Womanhood. You're the public relations manager, and you also host the Natural Womanhood podcast. Can you share about the mission of Natural Womanhood and how you and the team there help women work with their body and not against it?
Yeah. So one of the hashtags that we use all over our social media is Know Your Body. That's one of our big taglines. And, you know, we exist because we believe that all women can learn to claim their natural fertility is beautiful, powerful, and healthy. I mean, that right there in a nutshell is why we exist as an organization, because man, is that really a countercultural message and has been for so long, right? The tides are turning, but we still have a lot of work to do in getting women to really internalize that reality, you know? And so that's why we exist. And one of the ways that we do that is through the podcast, which you mentioned, which I host, the Natural Woman podcast. We have fertility awareness and restorative reproductive medical experts in the field do great interviews with us on there, and in video interviews that we put on our website at naturalwomanhood.org. And really the biggest piece I think that we contribute is we just have hundreds and hundreds of articles, most of them reviewed by our scientific advisory board made up of doctors in restorative reproductive medicine and experts in fertility awareness, that we publish that just run the gamut on women's health. And we have just an incredible breadth of information on our website about authentic women's health. Really, when Natural Womanhood started a little over a decade ago, it was very, very narrowly focused on just natural family planning, promoting natural family planning. And doing it in a way that was not religiously motivated necessarily, because our CEO realized, even though he's Catholic and you're never going to find anything on natural womanhood that would be, you know, antithetical to the faith, he realized very presciently, because as you know, we've already mentioned, this conversation seems to have really come a long way in the last 10 years. He realized 10 years ago that Catholics were the only ones having these conversations, the only ones talking about this, but you know, the fertility awareness world had so much more to offer everyone. But unfortunately, most of what you would find was very Catholically colored, I guess I'll put it that way, for lack of a better way to phrase it. That would freak a lot of people out, right? So our Protestant brothers and sisters, or even people who aren't necessarily religious at all, were really, you know, could be put off by the information that they might find from other organizations that came from a very, very strong Catholic bent on things. And so Natural Womanhood takes, you know, a very evidence-based approach to everything that we publish, everything that we put out, so that women can get the best information available on these topics that, you know, frankly, you can't get really anywhere else. We know that Planned Parenthood does not give the right kind of statistics. Even the CDC does not give the right kind of statistics about the effectiveness of fertility awareness and natural family planning. They lump it all together with the rhythm method. So we take an evidence-based approach. We don't come at things from a moralizing angle. And it's all to give women the best information possible so that they can make informed decisions about their health for themselves. And it's a place that women can come to and also, you know, feel okay sharing with, you know, say that you're Catholic and you have a Protestant friend or a, you know, non-religious friend who you want to share information about fertility awareness with, but you don't want to freak them out because everything is very Catholic all over, you know, a lot of other websites. You know, you can send them information from Natural Womanhood and know that it's going to be evidence-based, but also, you know, you're not sending them something from Cosmo where you have to worry about leading them into scandal. You know, it's just good information and it comes from a good place, from an incredible team of people who just want the best information out there for women.
I think so many of us as women and as mothers are carrying around this deep-seated angst against our body and in a particular way, our cycles. And for some of us, this is because we have been sold those lies that our periods are dirty, that our bodies are shameful, or we've endured really painful cycles and we've been led to believe that, no, that's just a part of being a woman, that this is normal. What does authentic women's healthcare look like? And how do we, as women, grow in an understanding that our fertility is a gift?
Right. That's a great question, because we do all have, you know, most of us have some kind of angst. We've either been dealing with painful periods. Maybe we've struggled with infertility. Maybe we've struggled with repeated miscarriage. Women can come from all sorts of different places about how they feel about their bodies and about their fertility, especially. And I think a lot of that angst comes from there not having been good options for dealing with these issues for so long, or everyone thinking that the pill was the only option for them, or that IVF is the only option for them for treating infertility. And actually, there's been a field of medicine. It really started with NAPRO technology. Dr. Hilgers at Creighton University pioneered NAPRO, that takes a holistic approach to a woman's fertility and says, you know, we're not going to force a pregnancy via IVF. We're not going to shut down someone's cycle who has, you know, painful periods. We're going to get to the bottom of this, because fertility is a sign of health. And if your fertility is not functioning as it should, whether, you know, you're painful, your periods are super painful, super heavy, coming with all these other side effects, or you're struggling with infertility, what have you, that's a sign that something's wrong. And so we're not going to just slap a Band-Aid on it. You know, we're going to look at the root cause. And that's what the whole field of restorative reproductive medicine does. They look at your symptoms. They look at your cycle. You chart your cycle with these doctors. They do, you know, really, really targeted testing around, not just on day 14 of your cycle, because very few women actually ovulate on day 14. But, you know, you go to an IVF doctor and they're just going to look at you in terms of averages. And so very few women actually ovulate on day 14. A restorative reproductive medical doctor is going to have you chart and actually have you figure out, when are you ovulating? Are you ovulating? Let's do some targeted hormonal testing geared towards your specific cycle and figure out what underlying issues you may or may not have with your cycle so that we can figure out why your fertility is not functioning as it ought to. And I think if more women were aware of the fact that there are doctors out there who exist, yes, who are willing to do that kind of workup with them and not just slap Band-Aid solutions on them that actually probably end up making them feel worse, it would go a long way in relieving a lot of the angst that we women feel that, you know, oh, this is just our lot in life, that we have to suffer through this, whether it's infertility or it's painful periods or repeated miscarriages.
I think it's just so restorative for women to interact with and to work with a doctor who sees them as a whole person that's integrated into. And yes, it's just, that's a game changer when it comes to women's health, especially in light of what we're offered on the secular from Planned Parenthood or through the IVF lens. When we talk about things like charting our fertility and discerning family size and how many, then we're starting to edge into this conversation about how many kids Catholics, quote unquote, should have, and using NFP to avoid or achieve pregnancy, it can start getting to be a little bit of a hot topic in Catholic circles. as Twitter will reveal, or Instagram, yeah, or your social media platform of choice. But before we dive into what fertility awareness practically can look like and how that applies, mm-hmm, to discerning seasons of avoiding or hoping to achieve conception, can you share a little bit about what the Catholic Church teaches about learning about our fertility as married couples, as women, and discerning family size?
Sure. Well, there's, you know, obviously big misconceptions that the church says that you have to have as many children as you possibly can, right? And that you're somehow less holy if you don't have the, you know, what, the 8-passenger van or whatever, 12-passenger van to haul around, you know, your massive family with. Holy families look very different across the spectrum. I mean, the Holy Family was a family of three. You know, the church has never, ever given anyone any kind of mandate when it comes to how many children they are supposed to have. She has really, in her infinite wisdom, left that up to the discernment of individual couples. For some couples, the ideal family will possibly look like one child. For other couples, it might look like 8 children. So nobody should ever be looking, you know, from the outside at a family and saying, oh, you know, they're not as holy as we are because they only have one child. We have, you know, 5, what have you, because the church has never, ever given any kind of definitive family size or, you know, mandate on couples that they must have as many children as they possibly can. You know, we are called to prayerful discernment. We are called to be fruitful and multiply. That is true. But we also are called to fruitful discernment about our family size. And we can and should take into account all of the things that go into deciding whether or not it's a prudent decision to have another child, whether that's, you know, there are financial considerations, health considerations, and that can be physical or mental. You know, we are called to be prudent in the decisions surrounding children and how many we have. And so, you know, I would love for that debate to be put to bed everywhere that we see it on social media and elsewhere, because you just have no idea. The couple with one child on earth could have 6 in heaven, yeah, right? Yeah. And you just have no way of knowing that. And at the same time, they could just have 1 on earth. And for whatever reason, it's been decided amongst the two of them that's what they can handle. That's what they have. You know, you just have no idea. You have no idea at all what couples are dealing with. And that's why the church has just been, you know, it kind of drives some people, maybe people who are a little bit more scrupulous, crazy, wanting to know if their reasons are good enough for not having more or for having more. But the church has really been pretty hands-off in giving too much direction other than to, you know, discern prayerfully with your spouse what your ideal family size should look like.
Many couples are in a season where they're in that discernment, where they're asking in prayer what the Lord's calling to them to do with their fertility. Do you have advice for couples when it comes to that discernment? Whether is this the cycle? Is this the one where we avoid? Is this the one where we hope to achieve? And what could those conversations look like? What does the role of fertility awareness play in those discussions?
Yeah, you know, I think this is a tough one because I do think that, and I have to credit Ellen Holloway at Charting Toward Intimacy with some of the things I'm about to say, because we had a great conversation about this several months ago on her podcast. But that, you know, really our default should be yes, right? Our default should be an openness to life. And that's really radical in a culture where contraception has become so pervasive, so prevalent, that the default seems to be off, right? Fertility is always off, unless you make the decision to turn it on. And so even for couples who use fertility awareness, we are so steeped in this contraceptive culture that we can still be making decisions from the default off position, right? When really what the church tells us is that, you know, in not this many words, of course, but that our default really should be on, right? And that each month, each cycle is an opportunity to have a discussion as a couple, to discuss prayerfully what if our answer is going to be no, you know, because our default is yes. If our answer is going to be no this month, then why? Why not? And so really kind of making that switch in your brain and in how you talk about your fertility and your family size is very profound, and it's difficult, but it's what we're called to do. And it's one of those things that, as difficult as it is, it's not being asked of us because the church and Jesus wants to see us suffer. They're not trying to torture us. It's because there's so much good that comes from that mindset. And it largely, you know, is through the communication that's fostered between couples. You know, because if one spouse is constantly saying no, 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 there should be a conversation that's being had there between a husband and wife. You know, well, why? If it's no, why? You know, I want to understand why. And that's where we can have all sorts of, you know, really fruitful conversations, opportunities to grow together in intimacy, you know, emotional intimacy with our spouses surrounding, you know, well, I'm feeling really stressed out at work right now. I might not have been sharing it with you. I'm trying to hold it together, but I'm feeling so stressed out right now that the thought of another baby feels like it would break me, you know? Okay, well, let's talk about that, right? Why are you so stressed at work? What kind of changes can we make? You know, you can see how it would involve all of these, if you dive into these conversations the way that you're meant to, if you're really prayerfully discerning your family size each cycle, it opens the door for such a deep emotional intimacy when spouses are willing to share their no's and their yeses with each other and the reasons behind them. You know, that's where conversations of, you know, I'm saying no constantly because I haven't recovered from the traumatic birth that I just had. You know, I might not have shared it with you yet because I'm really struggling to work through it, but I had a really traumatic birth and I'm really terrified of going through it again. Okay, well, let's talk through that as a couple. Let's maybe get you some mental health counseling if that's what needs to happen. You know, there's just so many avenues for this to help you grow in intimacy as a couple, emotional intimacy as a couple, and also for you to take care of yourself in a holistic way. It's about questions about fertility are not just about babies. Never, right? They're about everything. And that's why we see, you know, that's one of the theories behind why couples who use natural family planning have such a lower divorce rate, you know? And I have to think that has to be a big reason, is because if you are talking about all these things constantly, like, who doesn't want to be on that kind of same page with their spouse, right? To really know your spouse and everything that they're struggling with, everything that they're dealing with, like, that's what we want, right? We want to really know this person that we've pledged ourselves to for the entirety of our lives. And if you do NFP the way that the church intends us to do, you know, that's the goal.
Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah. There's so many opportunities in those conversations just to be so truly known as a whole person that, yes.
To know and be known.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. To grow in that knowledge of your spouse and to reduce fertility to just babies is just, that's just missing out on just the beauty of everything that it does involve. So we've talked about motherhood in the sense of becoming a mother through fertility awareness and achieving pregnancy with your spouse and what that looks like. But what about motherhood in the sense of the children that we do have, especially especially for those of us who are moms to daughters. And I think many moms who are concerned about the idea that their daughters are exposed to, about what it means to be a woman in today's world. And we want our daughters to know the truth about their bodies, but we might just feel really unsure about how to start those conversations, or afraid that we don't know enough, or that we're going to say the wrong thing. Can you share about the resources that Natural Womanhood offers for helping moms teach, especially you guys do such a beautiful job with preteen daughters, about their bodies?
Yeah, we are really proud of our Mothers of Preteens online course that we have. It's really a body literacy course for moms and daughters to do together, because we want to head. So here, let me back up a little bit. In my experience with teaching people fertility awareness, my husband and I volunteer through the Couple to Couple League. We overwhelmingly hear the same refrain from couples, especially the women, that, you know, why wasn't I taught this earlier? I have been on the pill. We've had couples who have been on the pill. The woman's been on the pill forever because she had painful cycles, what have you. She gets off of the pill and, you know, she's being awakened to the fact that she has this whole different side of her that she never knew about, basically. New way of feeling and thinking and doing life that's been suppressed for all these years. And they wonder, you know, I was so afraid of getting pregnant. I was so afraid of having acne. I was so afraid of having painful cycles. And it turns out that all along, I could know something about my cycles. I didn't need to be fearful of them. I could get help for these issues without resorting to the pill. Why did nobody tell me about this before? And I'm hearing women, you know, say this to me that are in like their late 20s, early 30s, late 30s. And that's a heartbreaking reality to know that, you know, for like the better part of their lives, the last two decades for some of them, that's been their reality, just a total ignorance of the way their body works, a total lack of authentic care for themselves too. And so we at Natural Womanhood, you know, we love Precana. We love the dioceses that really hit hard on NFP and want their couples to at least be exposed to NFP, if not take a full course. We love that. We think that's great, right? But it's too late. It's too late for so many women. You know, they've endured way too much in the intervening time between when they started cycling and when they're in a Precana course, hearing about NFP or fertility awareness for the very first time in their entire lives. We want young women just starting their adolescence, just, you know, even before they're starting to cycle, but showing all those signs of, you know, they might be getting some acne. They might be getting a little moody. You know, their breasts might be starting to bud. Things that moms notice about their daughters, right? When you're noticing those things, we want to empower you and equip you as a mom to have the conversations that you need to have with your daughter to prepare her for the realities of being a woman, and to do it in a way that instills within her that it's a good thing to be a woman, it's dignified. Your body has dignity. Your cycles have dignity. They're beautiful. And that they are all geared towards the awesome reality of, you know, potential biological motherhood someday. It's not this yucky, dirty thing that you're just going to have to deal with for the rest of your life. And oh, if it ends up being painful, that stinks. You know, that's just what you're going to have to deal with. That's what we don't want. We don't want any of those things. And unfortunately, that's what so many of us have experienced. When we did focus groups with moms of preteen and teen daughters, a lot of them said, you know, that was the experience I had. I was taught this was dirty. I was taught that it was shameful, or I wasn't taught anything, or, you know, I immediately had terrible, painful cycles and I was just told to deal with it. There was nothing I could do unless I wanted to go on birth control, blah, blah, blah. All of that. We heard all of that. And these moms really wanted to do better by their daughters, and they wanted the words to say, you know, they're not fertility awareness experts. They don't need to be. They're experts in their daughter. And in giving them the tools, which we do in our Mothers of Preteens course, you don't have to become an overnight expert in fertility awareness. You can present the information to them. You can be the authority for them so that they're not Googling things. So they're not going, you know, to peers who might have misinformation, or going to teachers who might have misinformation. You can be the source of authority on this topic for your daughter, which builds an intimacy there that we want too, right? We want our daughters to know they can come to us with questions about their bodies, about their cycles. We want to build that closeness with between moms and daughters. And when they see you as an authority who's not afraid to talk to them about the things that are going on in their bodies and who has answers for them, which we've provided through our course, then we really hope that, you know, we can mitigate a lot of the angst that young girls feel when it comes to the changes that their body is going through. When we can frame it for them, when we can contextualize what's happening for them, which I think is the big key, is that, you know, you don't have to feel like this is all just kind of happening to you willy-nilly. It's scary. It's foreign. It's weird. What's going to happen next? You know, when they're prepared and when they know and they can contextualize it in the, you know, the bigger picture of this is what it means to be a woman. This is what it means to have the awe-inspiring, incredible ability to conceive, carry, deliver, nurture life someday. You know, it's, we can really truly empower our girls, and we as moms can be the ones to do that when we have the resources. And that's what our Mothers of Preteens program does. And that's why we're so proud of it.
That's so good. And to, even to have those conversations with your preteens, like you said, before they start cycling, then when they do start cycling, it's like, oh, this isn't something that's scary. I know about this because my mom told me about it, and it's not something that I have to be afraid of. And that's just a totally different experience of puberty than I think most women have had up until this point.
Oh, yeah. 100%. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Grace, we've talked about so many good things that Natural Womanhood offers, this course specifically, but then also all of the resources, you guys' podcast. Where can listeners find out more about Natural Womanhood and connect with you after this episode is over to keep that conversation going?
Yeah, so naturalwomanhood.org. That's where you can find all of our resources. The Mothers of Preteens course I mentioned is on there. You can find our podcast episodes there. You can also search our podcast, the Natural Womanhood Podcast, wherever you get your podcasts, Spotify, Apple, we're all over. We have a newly resurrected Twitter, or, you know, X account. To call it X now. At NATUR Womanhood, Natural Womanhood. And then Instagram. We've pretty much got it all these days. We're trucking along, trying to use every tool that we can to reach as many women and couples as possible. Because, you know, even though, as we talked about at the outset of this episode, that the culture is really starting to shift and we're really seeing the conversation just grow around not only being honest about how, you know, bad birth control is, all the terrible things it does to our bodies, but also that, you know, there's goodness in knowing our bodies and knowing our cycles and getting authentic help for issues that arise with our cycles. There's still a long way to go, and we still have even more people to reach. And so we're doing that in all of the ways that we can, in all of the places that we can. But best place to go is naturalwomanhood.org.
Grace, we've covered so many topics today, including fertility awareness, teaching our daughters about the goodness of their bodies. But in this series of letters to women, it's focused on motherhood. So the last question that I would love to close this conversation with is this one. How do you live out the feminine genius in your everyday life as a mother?
Oh gosh, that is such a good question. Oh boy. I think I am really grateful for the work that I do in the way that it has really helped me speak to my daughters about their bodies. Especially my oldest. I have three young daughters. I have a newborn, I have a 2-year-old, and I have a 4 going on 5-year-old. And just in giving me the confidence to talk to them in age-appropriate ways, just knowing what I know about the female body and its goodness. You know, I'm not afraid to explain, you know, like to my 4-year-old when she sees me changing a pad in the bathroom. I'm not afraid. I don't feel like that's something I need to hide from her. It's something I explain to her in an age-appropriate way. You know, oh, this is blood that would be keeping a baby cozy in my tummy, but there's no baby in there this month. And so it's going to come out and it doesn't hurt and it'll stop. And then more blood will come, you know, to in case next month a baby comes in my tummy, you know, just like very, very simple explanations that are age-appropriate that I feel, you know, I don't feel weird about having with my eldest daughter. I won't feel weird about having it with her younger sisters, because I understand that this is just information about their bodies. That's their birthright as girls and someday women. And so I'm grateful in the work that I do that I've been given that confidence and that ease of speaking about these very important topics with my daughters as a mother. And it's just it's a great joy and hope that I have that I can give that same empowerment to other women, especially other mothers.
I love that. So. That's their birthright. That's beautiful. Oh, that's so good. Grace, thank you so much for your time today, for coming on the show, for sharing your story, for all of the good work that you do with Natural Womanhood. It's just been a great conversation.
Thank you, Chloe. I appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Letters to Women podcast. Check out the show notes for my conversation with Grace on my website, letterstowomenpodcast.com, or just scroll down in your podcast player for links to connect with Natural Womanhood online. You'll also find a link to the sponsor of today's episode, Interior Kingdom, and remember to use that coupon code LTW15 for 15% off your purchase of the Interior Kingdom program. Something new I'm doing this season is including some discussion questions in the show notes for you to explore in your own journaling, your prayer time, and to foster good conversations with your friends or your small group. I think that we learn the most about the feminine genius when we're in conversation with other women. And I know a lot of you use these episodes for conversation topics with small groups, so I'm really excited to support you in that way. Also, there's a link to sign up for my newsletter, Naptime Notes. Once a month, I share the books I'm reading to myself and to our kids, some thrift store finds, and some podcasts and playlists that I listen to. Naptime Notes is always going to be free. But if you subscribe at $5 a month, you get early and ad-free access to all of the Letters to Women podcast days, sometimes weeks, before they go live here in the public podcast feed. Make sure to subscribe to Letters to Women wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss a new episode. And if you know women in your life who would love these conversations, please send this episode their way and tell them about what's coming up on the show. If you listen to the podcast, you love the conversations and the guests of the show, please leave a rating and review. You can always send your thoughts and comments my way via email at letterstowomen@gmail.com. That's all I have for today's episode. Letters to Women will be back in your podcast feed in 2 weeks as we continue in this Letters to Mother season with a conversation about growing your family through adoption and the call to foster care. Until next time, be not afraid.